to cut the story down so it'll fit in. We get the important parts. He was taken into the operating room. There was something lying on the table that he knew was short, covered with a drape sheet, and he thought, oh my, you know, this is something because it's probably a child. And,
sure.
There's a serious injury here. So the doors were shut. They told him, don't come out until he's resolved the medical problem. Don't ask questions and just do your thing. Very matter of fact, do it. Make sure the patient's alive, and then you can come out. So he was there with the surgical personnel and so on. There were some X-rays that were up on the view box. He looked at the X-rays and found that there was a compound fracture of the leg. And at that point, he went over to the table and started to roll back the drape and was horrified because he looked at it and he thought that this was some kind of terrible, horrible deformity, human deformity. But as he began to examine what was laying there, he realized that this was not a human being.
Not a human.
And he described it very similar as to what the girl described, a creature that was about almost 5 feet in length, with a large head, a thin neck, brown, oily-colored skin, no body hair, no facial hair, no mustache, a tiny little nose.
And he gave it to you in that detail.
Yeah, in that detail. And, I'm glad you asked that, because at this point, his demeanor began to change, and you had to sit there as a witness and watch this to completely understand the emotion now that was filling the room, because it was only a short time after this. I mean, it was easy to realize these weren't rumors. He was the guy.
Yeah. I've got it. But in terms of this wasn't human, but apparently it had what we would think of as a leg, and it was obvious that there was a bone.
Yeah, so that it was a broken leg with the bone sticking out through the skin.
So we know already that the metabolism is fairly similar to that of human beings in some ways, right? The construction of...
Yeah, we went through a lot of detail, which I don't have time to go into at all, but I'll mention a few things. I asked them about the blood and the bone. I said,
right.
What's the blood like? Is it blue and, jumps around on the floor or what?
Yes.
And he said, no, the blood is very similar to human blood, even with the cellular constituents. One large exception was that there's a set of little small white cells called platelets. And the platelet reading, he said, was about 10,000 times higher than in human blood.
Wow.
And that it clotted almost immediately as it came out of the blood vessel. But he didn't know whether this was due to increased platelets or whether the blood was being exposed to an atmosphere that was different than where this thing had come from. He said the bone was, again, very similar to human bone, except it was a little more pink in color. And then it contained what is called medically lacunae. And these are holes or apertures that are in the bone. He said it almost looked like osteoporotic bone, which in human is a diseased bone, which the calcium drops out and has holes in it. But he said because of these internal lacunae or holes or apertures in the bone,
yes,
the tensile strength of the bone was much, much stronger than human bone. And, he knew that what he had to do was to, of course, put the bone back, set the fracture, and so on.
Yes.
And at some point, he said he lost control. And that whatever was happening was that whatever was laying there was controlling the movements of his hands.
Holy mackerel.
And he reapproximated the bone, and he said when the ends were reapproximated, in other words, put together.
Stop you for a question. Was there any anesthetic?
Yes, they were afraid to administer a gas anesthesia because they didn't know what this respiratory system was like.
Right.
They guessed, you know, that it would react to with a local anesthesia, so they used it. But even after they used it, they didn't know whether it was producing anesthesia or whether the being had control over what he was feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
Once the bone ends were approximated, he said he couldn't move it.
Did the creature make any noise?
No.
No noise.
No noise, but it did move on the table. It had head-turning movements.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lot of rumors in this case, and some of the rumors indicated that these creatures made a buzzing noise like a bunch of bees. I didn't find that, and I couldn't get any testimony of that, but there are supposedly some witnesses that...
And so at some point during his treatment, the doctor felt as though the movements were not his at all?
That's correct. He said that he tried to explain it as best as he could by an automatic movements of the hands that sort of guided his fingers in doing what he was doing. I the closest thing I've ever heard of this is on Star Trek, when I think Spock was putting himself together. But anyway, they fixed the wound without internal fixation. That means no plates, no pins, no screws, no wires.
Right.
Because when the bone ends were approximated, he couldn't move it.
You're telling me it healed right away?
The whole thing healed, he said, within 24 hours. Bone and superficial tissue.
Oh, my goodness. This is hot stuff.
Well, it's an absolutely amazing emotional story, and there was an episode that I'll finish with here, which is even more amazing. I won't go into all the details, but there was a telepathic communication between the being and the doctor, and he said it was like downloading large amounts of information into his head, and it felt like somebody was hitting him over the head with a hammer.
And the nature of the information?
I'll get to that. He said that it was making him sick, like migraine headaches, which lasted for 2 weeks afterwards.
But he knew he was getting it.
He knew he was getting it, and I asked him, can you tell us what it is that you learned from the creature? And he says, I'm only going to tell you a very little bit at this meeting. And I said, okay, go. And he said the first thing the creature said was that he felt sorry for human beings. And I said, why? And his answer was, because the creature said that we could do everything that they could do, but we didn't know how to do it. And number two, the other reason he felt sorry for human beings, is, and this is very, very prophetic, he said, because we were totally detached from our spiritual self.
Well, that may be so.
Now, when this interview was finished, again, all I can do is verbally describe that here's a man who hasn't talked about this to a soul in 6 years telling us this story. He's now sitting in a chair with his head bent over, his hands out in front of him that are absolutely shaking.
Hold it.
Tears running down his face.